Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Travis. And man, I pray that as you are considering where to go, that it's not an if you go, but it's a when you go. And I realize that there are some people who physically, they can't go. One of the things that we are working on here at Ridgecrest, I want to make it as easy as possible for people in our church to go on mission. We really do. And so one of the things that God has placed in my heart, and along with our missions pastor, Pastor James, is so that we can help you. We can help you be able to go on mission financially. And so we are working through that because we want to be good stewards of God's money and the money that God has given us to use for His glory. I do know this. I do know a lot of churches that want to do something like this. They want to get all they can all they get, and sit on the lid, right? We don't want to do that. Everything in your life you ought to hold loosely, because He can come and take it at any moment. It's His. It's His. Even your life. Even your life is His. We've been given the gospel, the good news. How dare us? It's never a question. It's never even a thought of, should I share the gospel? Whether that's with a waitress, a waiter, a neighbor, or across the world. We've got to share the gospel. The good news is only good if it gets there in time. And so we've got to take the message. Okay, I've been here now for a little while. Think you know my heart? Are you learning it? I don't understand how we can claim to have been given life. Because remember, Ephesians 2 says, one, I'm dead in my trespasses and sin. Therefore, I'm spiritually dead. Yet the Spirit of God, it goes on to say, He quickens me. He causes me to be made alive. I don't do anything. He does it all. And for me to be selfish and not share with another person who is dead where they can find life, I don't understand it. Don't understand it. So, that's why we want to help you, okay? We really want to help you guys. John chapter 17. We are making our way through this incredible chapter. I want to welcome 1031 to our services. John chapter 17. Boy, God is really showing me some things about my own prayer life. But then today, my prayer is that He is going to reveal to us just how secure we are in our salvation. Here's what we're going to see. We're going to be able to see that we're not holding on to Him. He's holding on to us. I don't keep my salvation. He keeps my salvation. And guys, I'm telling you, it's just the way God is. The fact that we're going to ask you to give of your all towards the Global Impact Fund. We're going to ask you to give your life to go on missions, to do whatever it takes. There ought to not be any fear in your life today. Because hear me, your life has already been appointed. Your death. When you're going to die, it's on God's calendar. You're not going to be early. You're not going to be late. You're going to be right on time. Therefore, why not go all out? Some people say, well, I just don't want to be a radical believer. Hey, can I tell you something? For the Son of God to come to this earth and to live a sinless life and to voluntarily lay down His life is radical. He went to radical means to save your hide. You ought to go to radical means to share the gospel with other people. Amen? Edit that part that I said hide. I didn't mean to say that. Just kind of came out. I'm going to blame it on the medicine today, okay? I got all kind of stuff up here today. So, John 17, let's honor God's word and stand as we read. Verses 6, I'm going to read down through verse 12. Jesus is praying. Remember, He's praying. And He says, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, but you gave them to me. and they have kept your word. Now, guys, we preached the entire service last week. Couldn't get past verse 7. Now they have known all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you have sent me. I pray for them. Listen to this. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Heavenly Father, oh, this is so rich in great truth this morning. And I just pray, God, that you would not let anything distract our great congregation and those in the pew, God. Don't let anything distract them from hearing your Spirit speak to them. And Father, I pray today more than ever that you would use me, God, not for my glory, not for anyone to say anything about this sermon, but God, that we could point them to you. God, that's what we want to do. We want to point everybody we come in contact with, and especially as I preach this morning, point them to you, Jesus, for you alone are worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A 2-minute recap. Last week, we talked about as Jesus was praying, how it revealed his character. It revealed his character. And then we mentioned, I wanted to get to 3 ways that it revealed his character, Pastor Travis, but I only was able to get to 1 way that it revealed his character. It reveals his character through his name. And we just talked about the name of God, that name of God. Now I want to talk to you about it reveals his character through his dependence on the Father, through his dependence on the Father, because the disciples are beginning to realize the mission that the Father had given Jesus. Verse 7, now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. They are from you. In other words, this passage highlights his intimacy and his dependence on the Father. His intimacy and his dependence on the Father. In other words, Jesus, listen to this, this is good. Jesus worked by the power of God, and he did everything in accordance to his will. Listen to John 9, verse 4. John 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for the night is coming when no one can work. Listen to John 4, verse 34. All right, John 4, 34. Listen to what it says. Jesus said to him, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What work was Jesus finishing? He was finishing, listen to this, the cross, but through the cross was also raising up. You see, I'm going to say something, and I know some of you it's going to hit you a little differently, and you're going to go, wait a minute. Jesus didn't come to change the world. Jesus came to change people, listen, to change the people whom the Father had given him so that they may go out and share the gospel to the world. You got to get that. He finished the work. What was that work? The cross, but through the cross it was to raise up a people to send out, dear friends, and those people in that upper room in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Ghost of God came down and blew through that room and filled them, I'm telling you, as a result of that. Hear me. We can now take the gospel to wherever and tell them the gospel is good news for everyone who might believe. So that was through his dependence of his Father. It revealed his character through his name, through his dependence on the Father. Number 3, it reveals his character through his word. Through his word. Listen to John 17, verse 8. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come from the Father, that I came forth from you, and that they have believed that you have sent me. So listen, the Father was the source of strength for the Son. The Son is the source of strength for the saint. I'm telling you guys, Randy Copeland yesterday says that John 15 is one of his favorite passages. And in that verse, he says that apart from you, I can do nothing. You got to get this. It amazes me how much we accomplish in the name of Jesus by not being filled with Jesus. Can I ask you this? If the Spirit of God decided not to show up today, would we still have sung the way we did? Would we still preach the way we do? Would we still clap and amen the way we do? Because we're not really depending on Him. We're depending on how good we are. I'm telling you, listen to me. Can I tell you what it means by believing His word? By believing His word, it shows us that what, in other words, what we possess. How do we bring glory? How do we bring glory by believing in His word? Because of what we possess. What do we possess? We possess Him. He came to seek and to save. So we possess Him. Not only do we possess Him, we have a result. We have, as a result of the Son of God, we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance that will not fade away. So these disciples affirmed God's word and acted upon them. When God's word is given, when it is received, and when it is believed, I'm telling you, something happens. So He is testifying to the genuineness of the disciples' faith. So here's what He says in verse 8. This is good now because I'm about to read a quote here that's going to shake some people up. Verse 8, He says, "For I've given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them." Have you received His word? Now listen to what it says. "They have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you." You see, dear friends, when you receive His word, you know that Jesus came from God. And listen to what it says. "And they have believed that you have sent me." I'm telling you, if I believe that Jesus was sent by God, then I will believe that that same commission and commandment is given to me. And Jesus said, "If I have been sent, so now I send you." So now I send you. Praise God that Jesus didn't get halfway up Calvary's hill and said, "No, it's too hard. It's too hard." No, He went all the way. Matter of fact, we're going to find out later on when we start our series on Man of Sorrows that He went a little further. Jesus always goes a little further. You know why, dear friends? Listen to me. Go home and look in the mirror. Go home and look in the mirror. Oh, man. Listen to what James Montgomery Boyce asked. This is a statement now. How do we judge who are Christians and who are not? How do we judge who are... I know some of you say, "Well, now, we ought to not do that." I mean, is anything obvious to anyone in here? Could it be? Listen to me. Somebody, I saw something the other day and it just said, "Oh, I pray for my son, I pray for my daughter that they would have people around them that would build them up, that would speak kind words to them." And that's not a bad prayer. That's not a bad prayer. But have you ever thought about the fact maybe praying for your kids to be that kind of person to someone else? "Well, my child's just running with the wrong crowd." No, what if they are the wrong crowd? No, they may be the wrong crowd. The way you act, I'm telling you, listen to me, parents. And it's sad, but I'm just telling you. I've heard it a lot in our students. Not necessarily here, but in churches I've pastored. I've sat in rooms with teenagers and students and young adults weeping to me, saying, "My mama and daddy are fakes. They are not the same at home as they are at the church. If somebody could come into my home and see the way they act and the way they talk to me." If you can't be Christian at home, you can't be Christian anywhere. How can we judge whether or not a person is a Christian or not? Listen to this statement. There is only one answer. The answer given by the Lord Jesus speaking of those who were truly His disciples. John 17:6-8. According to these verses, the only way to tell whether one is a Christian or not is to see whether he or she believes, listen, and continues in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, there's no turning back. There's no turning back. You believe and you continue to believe. Number two. It reveals His character as He's praying. Number two, it reveals His compassion. Now, real quickly, verse 9. He says, "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. First of all, look at who he exalted. In verse 9, he says, I pray for them. In other words, this reminds me he's praying for the disciples. Now listen to this. He's praying for his disciples. It reminds me when Jesus prayed for Simon Peter. You all remember in Luke chapter 22. Remember this now. Remember. Back in John 1, I think verse 42, Jesus looked at Peter and he said, you are Cephas, son of Jonah, but you're going to be called Peter. Cephas means, or Simon. Simon means, it means wavering one. But you're going to be called Peter, which means rock. It means steady one. But here in Luke 22:31, it says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Now look right up here. If Jesus calls your name one time, you ought to pucker up. But if he says it twice, and can I tell you something? He has had to say Chad, 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 Chad several times. Somebody says, well, why does he go back to his old ways? Because every now and then, listen to me, every now and then, we can strut sitting down and we can think we're something. And God has to remind us, it's not anything you've done. It's not what you're doing. It's all being connected to me. We've got to remember to stay connected to Jesus. He says, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. He's asked for you. Do you know that nothing can happen to you in your life unless it passes through the sovereign hand and heart of God? You know what Jesus could have told Satan? No, you can't have him. This is really going to, I'm telling you, it's going to shake some people up. But listen to what Jesus said. He's asked for you, Simon, that he may sift you as wheat. Oh, come on, Jesus. Now, come on, Jesus. Tell us the rest of the story. Tell us that you told Satan he can't have him. But listen to what Jesus said. But I've prayed for you. Oh. Jesus, why didn't you just put him in his place? Oh, he had already done that. He had already done that. Jesus actually defeated Satan when Satan took him up on the mountain and tempted him, by the way. What I love about it, he had already won the fight, but he went on later and just kind of rubbed it in. But listen to me. You see, this Pastor Hosea, this when he says that he asked to sift you as wheat, he's asked for you, and Jesus didn't say, no, you can't have him, but he said, I'm going to pray for you. It tells me that every now and then, even in the life of Job, that this sifting effect, these troubles, these trials, these sufferings have a refining effect to them. He never said that bad things won't happen to good people. Sometimes, listen to me, believers suffer. He says, but I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. You know what's incredible? His faith didn't fail. Did Peter deny him? Absolutely, he denied him. But I'm telling you, his faith didn't fail. You know why? Because the object of his faith is Jesus Christ. That's what he's praying for us. The enemy wants to sift us. The enemy wants to mess with us. But he's saying, I'm praying for you. Matter of fact, he so assured Simon Peter that his faith wouldn't fail. He says, and not only that, when you do return, because he knew he was going to return. When you do return, strengthen everybody else. There's a lot of you in this church today. You've gone through so much suffering. Yesterday, Tammy and Travis, when they were giving their testimony, they were talking about when Tay died. Listen to me. When she passed away 4 days earlier before she passed away, she stood around and she was teaching through the life of Job, and she said, it's one thing for something bad to happen to someone else, but how are we going to act when it happens to us? And she said, what if it happens to me? What if it happens to me? Listen to me. A lot of people would look, and she said that everybody around them, the people that they're ministering to, they said, oh no, they're going to give up now. They're going to go home. And listen to what she said. She said, a door of ministry has been opened up for them that they would have never had not that happened in their life. It was a refining effect. And you know what? They didn't lose their daughter. We know right where she is. We know right where she is. So maybe sometimes we need to look at our suffering through the lens of God's word instead of the lens of some prosperity preacher that says that you must have sin in your life. Don't want to go down that road. What about those excluded? He says, I do not pray for the world. Now, this doesn't mean that Jesus never never prayed for the world on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, he was praying for the world at that moment. But the focus of John 17 is he's praying for those who would take the message to the world. That was his focus. So his praying reveals his character. It reveals his compassion. And lastly, just give me, I've got 12 minutes and 30 seconds. Listen to me. It reveals his confidence. It reveals his confidence. In verse 10, he says this. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. Can I am flat secure in Jesus. Are y'all listening to me? There are so many people in church today, even in some of our Baptist churches, who boast of once saved, always saved. There are so many people who still believe that they can walk away from their salvation. You know what I've said? You can walk away from your salvation. You can't walk away from his. You can't walk away from what Jesus does in your heart. What Jesus did for you on Calvary. My security is not based upon my actions. It is based upon what he did at Calvary's cross. And he secured me and sealed me with the Spirit of God. We're going to read that in a moment. So the disciples belong to God, yet he had given them to his son. They are yours and they are mine. And he goes on to say, I am glorified in them. It means it's a perfect passive verb. Now some of you say, what in the world does that have to do with me? Here's what it means. Simply meaning a completed act or a completed action in the past that results with results in the present. So Jesus is saying that the disciples have glorified him and that they will continue to be glorified in them even after he ascends back to heaven. How can the disciples and how can we continue to glorify God right now? Listen to me. The very fact that we belong to him glorifies him. Hear me, guys. The very fact that we belong to Jesus and to the Father glorifies him. The fact that we're believing his word glorifies him. The fact that we're being sent for him glorifies him. And so in a few moments, I'm going to ask many of you, this is the brochure that you can go out into our missions office there, and you can get these that tell about the upcoming trips, and we'll have many more that's coming. But many of you have a chance to glorify God by being sent for him. The Son is glorified in the disciples because he was sent into the world. And now, as we believe in him, we now glorify him as well. Jesus did each of these with the word that the Father gave him. And as we obey, we emulate the Son. Listen to this. John Phillips said this. This is so good. As believers who are in Christ, our mission is the same mission and the work of the Son. Because we are his, verse 10, we bring glory to Jesus by continuing his mission here on earth. I'm telling you, we bring glory to him. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, it talks about how we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. It says that God was in Jesus reconciling the world to himself. Then he goes right on to say, we've been given the reconciliation of the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. Can I tell you what that means? Watch this. That means this. Dear sir, dear ma'am, you're in here today and you still don't have a peace that if you died right now, you're going to heaven. Let me help reconcile you. There's a God that thought so much of you that he came to die on a cross, was buried, third day, rose again. His name is Jesus. He's standing now with his hand out and with his hand up. His hand out to grab your hand, his hand up to grab God's heart, and to bring them together through his sacrifice on the cross. That's reconciliation. Verse 11. Y'all are listening in a hurry. We're going to get done. Verse 11. Listen to what he says. Now I am no longer in the world. Wow. Hey. When he prayed this prayer, was he in the world? Come on, church. Yes. He was so sure of the completed act. He said, I've already finished the work. He was so sure of the completed act that he could say, it's as if I'm already sitting on the throne of heaven. He says, I am no longer in the world. He knows that he will soon be with the Father after his resurrection. In verse 4, he says, I have finished the work. I have finished the work. Can I tell you what that means? If Jesus speaks his word, We can trust His Word. We can keep His Word, dear friends. If He speaks it, we can keep it. Now listen, if Jesus can talk about the finished work on the cross before He even went to the cross to finish it, if He can speak of the fact that He's already with the Father, even though He's not already with the Father, I can stand here this morning and gladly tell you that when God sees me, He doesn't just see me here. He sees me in His foreknowledge. In other words, listen to me, dear friends. God saw me before He even flung a star out in space. He sees me now. And can I just tell you the way I believe that God, this is what God gave me this morning. I believe that when I wake up and I go to do something for God's glory, that's as if God can say this, "Hey, Chad Grayson, I saw you way back there before I even made one trace on this earth. Before I even made the universe, I saw you. I foreknew you. I saw you. I saw you back there. Chad, I see you right now. And can I just tell you, I just took a glimpse out in glory way back there. And I see you at my Father's feet worshiping with every other tribe and nation and tongue. And can I just tell you, you are as safe as I am." Hey, listen. That'll help some of you, because right now, I'm telling you right now, the enemy is defeating you. It ought to light a fire under you. If you can get over the death of Jesus, you may have not have ever been saved by the death of Jesus. I love you. We're going to skip that part. All right, listen. So this prayer is a prayer of unity, but we're going to roll on a prayer of security. It's a prayer of security. Listen to what he says. 11, verse 11. "Now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you." Now watch this. "Holy Father," it refers to His holiness, and it's reminding us of His character and His attributes. "Holy Father," listen to what it says, "keep through Your name those whom You have given Me." Keep through Your name those whom You have given Me. Now I want you to listen to what A.C. Gablin said. Listen to this. This is so good. That keeping, right there in that verse, means everything. That keeping means everything. Keeping from falling away. So there's a lot of people think, oh, you can just get so far in sin so much that you can just fall out of grace. It's not in the Bible. Keeping you from evil doctrine. There's so many evil doctrines that are out there, dear friends. And I'm telling you, just because somebody speaks something that sounds good with their mouth, the Bible says test every spirit. Test every spirit with God's word. Keeping you from being overcome by sorrow. Oh, you got sorrow in your heart? I'm telling you, that keeping can help you to know that this world is not my home. Keeping you in tribulation and suffering, it keeps you. It lets you know that they may can harm my body, but they can't take my soul and my spirit. Keeping them in life and in death. From this petition of our Lord's Prayer, we learn the absolute security of a true believer. If a true believer, listen to this statement, listen. If a true believer, one who belongs to Christ, who has been given by the Father to the Son, for whom the Son of God intercedes, if that believer, if you truly are saved, if you can be lost, it would mean the loss of Christ's glory. If you can be lost, it means that Jesus would lose His... Listen, it means that His prayer life is pitiful. And it would mean the loss of a part of the travail of His soul. So Jesus' prayer reveals God's providential care that forges an unbroken chain leading from eternity past to eternity future. Listen to this statement. Y'all all know this verse. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. "For whom He foreknew..." Now listen to me. All that means... I don't want to miss... All that means... is that he saw me before He even created the world. He is God. He foreknew me. He saw me, therefore, because He saw me, listen to what He did. He predestined. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. It means to trace out. It means to mark out. God saw me getting saved, but I still had to say yes. So you know what he did? He marked out some lines for me to know that I was going to be at Cope Baptist Church on a Sunday afternoon when Mac Harrison got up and preached the gospel, and the Spirit of God began to show me how lost and separated I was from him. As some of you today, he foreknew you and he's predestined it so that you might be here today to hear the gospel and to listen to what it says. And those who, to be, what am I predestined to, heaven or hell? That is nowhere in the Bible. It is nowhere in the Bible that says I am predestined for heaven or predestined for hell. It says I am predestined, listen to me, I am predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. God wants me to look like his son. I'm telling you, dear friends, there's some of you right now, if you look in the mirror, you look more like the devil than you do like the Son of God. He says, he conformed to him so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now listen to this. Moreover, whom he predestined, whom he traced out, I'm still not saved yet. He's marked out my line. He's marked out my line. He's predestined it for me to be here. Listen to what it says. He also called. How does he call you? By the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Nobody can get saved. No one can get saved apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is that Jesus took your place on Calvary's cross. He died for you. He paid your sin debt. And he satisfied the wrath of God. That is the gospel. And do you believe it or not? He called. Listen to this. And whom he called, these he also justified. In other words, now that I've been saved, I can stand before God justified, never sinned. That's what justified means. Those he justified, he also, help me church, what does it say? Glorified. In other words, if Jesus was so sure, he says, I'm no longer in this world. He was so sure that the Father was going to accomplish what he sent him to do that he could say, it's if I'm already there. I have finished the work. He hadn't even gone to Calvary yet. He hadn't even been beaten yet, but he was so sure in the Father. He was so sure in the Father. And now Paul could get so fired up and say, I'm already glorified. Not because of what I know I'm going to do. Not because I'm a preacher. Not because I'm a deacon. Not because I'm an elder. Not because I've had perfect attendance at Ridgecrest. But because my Father, all that he has given me, I will in no way cast out. And those he have given me, I have never lost one yet. Praise the Lamb of God. I'm telling you, one day we're going to get to heaven and you're going to get up there and you're going to get to shout and you're going to get to praising God. And I'm going to ask, why didn't we do that down here? It will help some of you this morning. Listen, it will help some of you this morning if you will understand that your salvation is not based on what you've done, but the finished work of Calvary. I'm so glad that when God told Noah to build that ark, he said, cover it with pitch. Same word for pitch is for atonement. He didn't say, Noah, get on in that ark and shut the door. No, he didn't tell Noah to go in. He told Noah to come in. Listen, when they landed, he didn't tell Noah to come out. He wasn't outside. He was on the inside with Noah the whole time. He said, Noah, go out. And I'm telling you, listen to me. I praise God that it says when Noah got in, he shut the door. And you know what else? I'm so glad that he didn't put pegs on the ark and said, dear friends, y'all hold on, it's going to get bumpy. You know why? Because if we did hold on, we'd be able to get to heaven. And we would say, hey, boy James, I held on, son. Look at my muscles. Look at, man, I held on for dear life. No, dear friends, you're going to get to heaven and you're going to say, oh, precious Lamb of God, I'm only here today because of what you did. I don't deserve it, but I'm here for all of eternity to tell you thank you, Jesus, for coming and saving an old sinner like me. Yes. Holy moly. Would you rewind that clock? God, there's so much in here. I didn't even get to the best part. I'm serious. You look at me. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other grounds are sinking sand. It's on Jesus. It's on his word. I can trust it. And there's some of you, your father's checked out on you. Your parents have abandoned you. A church has hurt you. A spouse has hurt you. Dear friends, listen to me. But you're not putting your faith in them. You need to put the faith in Him. He will never leave you, never forsake you. Come on, church family. You got to understand. Listen to me. You got to understand. I am being kept by God the Father. I'm being kept by God the Son. I'm so secure that I could get on a rotten corn stalk and swing over hell singing, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Listen to me. I couldn't get lost if I wanted to. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. And I know that shakes some people up, but I'm telling you, the reason is Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says that He sealed me, He bought me, and He's keeping me until my salvation is complete. When is that? When I'm glorified. But in God's eyes, I already am. That's how secure I am. All right, we got to close. Here's the close. Here's the invitation. Pastor Travis, go ahead and come on up. Some of you in this room, you're struggling over whether or not you truly are saved. And the reason you're struggling, listen, I'm not giving you a license to sin, but the reason you're struggling is because of something you did last night. The reason you're struggling is because of something, some sin that you have in the past that you haven't repented of yet. Or maybe you have repented of it and Satan's reminding you of it and wanting you to know that you're guilty. Listen, and that you're not worthy. But I told you last week, disappointed, He'll get disappointed. Ashamed of us, He's never ashamed of us. Why not today, church family? Why not today? If you really don't know you're saved, listen, if you really don't know you're saved, why not today? Watch, throw yourself upon a God that can keep you. Upon a God that can guard you. The Bible says my salvation is in reserve for me in heaven, kept by the power of God. The person that guards my salvation is the power of God. That's why I can't get lost. The power of God, I can't walk away. I'm not stronger than God. Satan can't steal it. So here's, if saved, always saved. If you are saved, you're forever saved. But if you've never been saved, the single greatest decision you'll ever make in your life is repenting of your sins and placing your faith in Jesus Christ. There's going to be some men up in the balcony. I'm going to be standing down front. As we stand, I'm going to pray. And before we sing, listen to me. If you need to be saved, if you need to come to this altar, which reminds me, if you filled out your card in the balcony, you're going to have to go ahead and start coming. If you filled out your card and you're saying, because I'm that secure, I'm willing to go anywhere He leads me. Because, son, if I lose my... Listen, you can't lose your life. You can't lose your life. But you can give it for Him and everything that He is worth it. I want you to come just lay them on this altar. If you need to pray with one of us, come. Whatever it is, I want you to come and do what it... Need to join, you come. Father, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. You come on. I'm laying it down. You come on.